As you know, this sermon was actually, maybe you don't know, this sermon was for a couple of weeks ago, for around Christmas time. So you're getting your Christmas sermon for New Year's. But don't worry, it's something that always fits. I want to talk this morning about expectancy. You know, the aspect of God's presence in our lives and our expecting to see Him working. Now we know that relationship is based upon common value system. That's right. Common value system. So, what a person you know about them is knowing what goes on inside their hearts and their heads. That's what relationship is about. That you know, when you know somebody, you know what's happening inside. And you can hide who you are, right? Say and do these things, but you keep that other part of you hidden. But when you know somebody, that part of who they really are comes out. And that's very important. Knowing a person means knowing what they value, what they desire, knowing their motivations of their heart. That's what it means to know God and have a relationship with Him. You know what goes on in His heart. You know what goes on in His mind. You know what He desires. And having relationship with Him is having those same desires, having those same things go on in your mind too. And the things that aren't going on in His mind shouldn't be going on in your mind. Right? That's relationship with God. That's what it is. That's very important. That's how you measure spirituality. That's how you measure whether a person is spiritual or not. You want to measure whether or not you're spiritual? You say, how much like God am I in value system? How much have I adopted His value system? How you treat other people in your families and in church, your friends, neighbors, strangers. Those things that you do for them, do you do them in a way that God does them? Or do you do them in another way? Your way. The way of the world. How much you are like Him is how much you truly know Him. Now that should all be review for you, right? You say, oh yeah, we've heard this. And it should convict you to a degree too, I hope. But I want to talk about something a little more subjective now. Okay? The subjective parts of our spiritual life. The objective thing is you measure your spirituality by how much you're like God. But I want to talk about the experiential side, the things, maybe the emotional parts. There's this other part of us that we respond to God with as well. And I want to talk about in terms of experience. I'm not talking about relationship, because this isn't relationship, this is experience. Relationship is based on a common value system, being like somebody, knowing them. And they're two different things completely. The emotions that you have are responses to what are important to you, but never confuse those with relationship. So you can have two young people, right? And they can have this deep emotional response to one another, but have no relationship. In fact, you can have a deep emotional relationship with another person that doesn't even know you exist. Right? There's no relationship there. There's emotion, but there's no relationship. Two different things. Relationship is knowing that person, knowing who they are, knowing what they desire, having common values with them. The emotional part's experience, it's great, it's lovely, it's wonderful, but it's not the same thing as relationship. And to confuse them in the terms of spiritual relationship and relationship with God is disastrous. Not everybody experiences emotions in the same way or to the same degree. We're all different that way. And we go through different phases of our lives when we experience emotions in different ways. So for some people, we're not even talking about emotions at all this morning when we're talking about experience of God. That's fine. I want to talk about expectancy. That could be emotional for some people or not for others. Expectancy. Like people when they were expecting the Messiah to come in the first century. That's the Christmas tie-in. There you go. Done. Now let's move on in the New Year's. What you expect. But I want you to think about expectancy in your relationship with God. In other words, what do you expect of His presence in your lives? His presence. What does that look like? What do you expect it to be? See, I'm not talking about relationship. Relationship is how much you're like Him. That's far more important. It's a different thing. I'm talking about the expectation of seeing His hand working in your life. The presence of God. Now, first of all, we always measure that by a change in value system. Again, don't make these simple mistakes. There's a lot of people, they have an emotional experience. They go sing a song, or they have an emotional thing, or they go to camp, or whatever it is, and they go, oh, I'm all emotionally excited. And they think God was there. God wasn't there any more than He was there the week before when nobody showed up, right? That's not how you determine whether or not God's presence is there. It's not how you feel. God's presence is whether or not people are changing, adopting His value system. But there is something else going on that I want you to be aware of. We see God's action in other ways. And the most important thing is we want to think about and consider, what's our emotional response to seeing the work of God? That's what's very important. See, when you begin to look to see the right way of how God works, you know, in terms of Him changing people, then you begin to have your emotional responses about the right things. You know, we know that God's emotional. We read about that in the Bible, that He's emotional. He has emotional responses. We have emotional responses. But your emotional responses should be connected to the same things that God's are. God gets excited about us changing. There's rejoicing in the presence of angels when what happens? When a sinner changes his value system, repents. God gets excited about that. He rejoices over that. And I think rejoicing is not just something, oh, hooray. Rejoicing is an emotional response for us. It should, when you see a person change, should bring an emotional response to you. If it doesn't, it's okay. There's people like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all experience emotion on a different level. Don't use that as your measure of spirituality. The person that has a huge emotion can sin and do evil things and think God's with them because they're emotionally all happy. But don't become depressed because you're not having some emotional response. You see transformation in your life and the life around you, and that leads you to thank God. You're seeing the presence of God. And that's the most important thing there. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're looking for. So never let emotion become the measure of your relationship with God. For some people, that good feeling that they get sometimes sustains them through blatant sin. And it shouldn't. For others, closeness to God feels impossible because they think they have to have some emotional response. You don't. If you do, great. If you don't, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just that way. Both those extremes are dangerous. And that's why I tell you, the measure of reality and the miraculous is by change in people with regard to their value system. That's how you know what spirituality is. It's not your emotions, and it's not even your perceived experience with God on some other level. Some people say, you know, oh, I don't have the visions that other person claims to have, or I don't see the miracles that this person sees in their life. It's not the measure of relationship with God, and it's not the measure of experience of God. The measure of relationship with God is value system and how much you have it and how much a person is being transformed in that. Remember, Jesus said the greater works that would happen among the church were people being transformed in value system, not the miraculous. Keep focused on what's most important. With all those kind of introductory thoughts, what can we do to engage our whole beings to respond to God's presence and work in our lives? What are the other elements to who we are and the way we're created that helps us live in an expectancy and seeing and being aware of what God is doing? And God does this in different ways to different levels and different people. So I can't give you a list and say, okay, these are the things you must do, and then poof, you're going to have this thing happen to you. It's different. These are things that will help develop your expectancy. In other words, develop your ability to discern God's work around you. God's working all the time around you. And if you don't see it, that's because you haven't honed your ability to see it. You're not looking for it. You're not expecting to see the hand of God working. That's what expectancy is about. It's about you expecting to see God's hand working and actually seeing it. Now, number one, remember, it's a transformation in people in their value system. So if you're looking for that and you see it, you have reason to rejoice. What other kinds of things? And your list may include other things beyond what I'm going to list here. I'm going to give you a few things. One is prayer. Now, the primary purpose of prayer is to have the strength to be a sacrificial lover, to get from God, from through the Holy Spirit, the ability to live God's value system. It's to change you. It's the place where strength to live like God is found. So prayer is the place where the Holy Spirit empowers you. And there's no need to ever doubt that God meets you there. You don't pray and go, well, I didn't feel anything. That's a lie. You don't need to feel anything when you pray. Do you think, you know, do you feel something? Every time your husband or wife speaks to you, do you feel something? If it's anger, then we got another issue there. But if you're, right? But you know, sometimes you just talk to somebody and you go, oh, I'm just swept off my feet every time you open your mouth. That would be highly unusual too, right? You know, when you speak to God, He hears everything you say, right? So you pray and ask God, please transform this part of my life. I'm having a little struggle here. I need your help. I want to become a sacrificial lover. Please empower me to do it. He hears that. He answers that. And there may or may not be emotions that accompany it on your behalf. But it's preparation for the work of God in your life and in the lives of people around you. It's where we begin to watch for His transforming hand. See, if you're praying for God to change you or change others, then you begin looking for that to happen. You begin to expect to see that. If you never ask God to change you or change other people, you won't look for it. Prayer is calling out to God to see Him move in you and in others. Without faith that He does that and that He will do that, then you won't pray. Faith is believing the promise of God, that He will change you. Prayer is asking God to answer a promise of His. So He's promised to transform you. He's promised to do that. He's promised to remove the difficulties of people coming to the King. That's another thing we're taught about prayer, that prayer is to prepare people's heart for the coming of the King, to remove the obstacles out of the way, to do the work of John the Baptist. Do you remember that? So if you're asking God to move in people's hearts who aren't Christians so that they will believe, you will begin to develop the expectation that He will answer that prayer. And when you expect Him to do that, then you will continue to do your part in sharing the gospel, waiting to see what He will do on His behalf of leading these people in the kingdom. But if you never pray those things, then you're not expecting God to actually do anything. You should never be shocked when somebody becomes a Christian. If you are, the problem is definitely more with you than with them. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is about learning to expect to see the hand of God working. And then when you see it working, you can thank Him and rejoice in what He's done. Another thing that develops expectancy in your life is practicing sacrificial love, actually doing God's value system. When we watch that work of God happen through us, and we recognize this is the Holy Spirit working in and through me. This is the hand of God. But when you expect it, when you're looking for it, then you really know who to give credit to. It's not, gee, I'm making improvement here. It's, thank you, Lord, for what's happening here. You're seeing the source. You're seeing who's moving that. As we see God's value system working in us, it confirms to us that we're His children, John writes, that we're like Him in this world, that we have a connection to Him, unlike others. And that should result in praise and glory to God. Jesus has said that unbelievers would glorify God, glorify our Father in heaven when we did the work of God on earth. So not only will we praise and glorify God, others will as well. And the other thing too, if you're practicing sacrificial love, if you're saying this is what I'm doing, but this is why, it leads you to be not shy about your value system, but open and honest with people. This is why I'm doing it. I'm practicing the value system of God. You know, it opens the door to sharing the gospel with them. And you can be honest that you don't do it perfectly. I mean, That's the freedom of saying, you know, here the ideal is Jesus dying on the cross. I don't do it. But you can tell people it's as hard as walking on water. Practicing sacrificial love helps you look for the work of God in your life. Then tied to these two comes the third one, opportunities to share the gospel. See, they're all related. It's tied to prayer. It's tied to practicing sacrificial love. As you live sacrificial love and pray for those around you, then you will believe that God will work in their lives. If you don't ever give people around you something to know about you, that you believe in Christ, don't be surprised that they don't know that about you. They don't. If your coworkers don't know you're a Christian, that's kind of sad. You know, you can let them know in a way that's not like strange, right? Like, there's a lot of strange Christians out there. I'm thinking, should we record this? There's a lot of strange Christians out there. they really are. And there's such a terrible testimony. they make things so hard for the rest of us. But when you talk and share the gospel in terms of a value system, it doesn't come across as being weird. There's nothing weird about saying Jesus is my example of how we're to love one another. If the whole world acted in this way toward one another, it'd be a great place. There's nothing weird about that. But you need to let them know your value system, that it flows from the cross of Christ. It's a simple message, but all the kookiness that often gets attached to Christianity, you don't have to deal with that when you share the gospel this way. But that's the process by which the work of John the Baptist is done in people's lives. I mean, it's you're building a road. You're building a road between them and the King. Your job is not to get, you know, to save them. Jesus' job is to save them. But you have to be able to point them out. Here's Jesus. This is who he is. And you do that. How do you show who somebody is? You show them the value system. That's what you're sharing about Jesus and the kingdom. So the call to repentance is a call to turning to that value system by contrasting their value system with the value system of God. And then you need to have the expectation that God is going to work in that whole process. This can take time. I mean, if you have friends that are, you know, atheists and, you know, they let you know they're atheists, don't expect that this is going to take 1 week. I mean, it might take years. It's okay. You got the time. Keep praying for them. Keep sharing your value system with them. Keep loving them. It's building that road. You don't know what life experience they will come up with that God will use to change them. And then poof, you know, there's that change. The hand of God moves. And you know who to thank. But without expectation that God will work, you won't share the gospel. You won't expect the kingdom to come in people's lives. So, you know, I've really tried to give you tools to share the gospel that are biblical, that are simple, that are the message of Christ, language that's easy to understand. And it's just clear to say, here's your values, these are the values of God. But if you don't expect God to work through those, you won't use them. Another thing that brings the expectation of God and his presence into your life is songs and singing. I mean, you're talking about an emotional part of us. It's very important. Songs and singing do that. And again, different levels to different people. And different songs. There's some songs that affect me more than other songs. There's some songs that affect me negatively. I don't even want to hear them. And then there's songs that have a very positive thing. And again, it's tied to our emotions. Emotions are not a bad thing. And if emotions lead us closer to God, there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't confuse the emotion with relationship. Don't confuse emotion with the presence of God. So find songs that move you more than others. I like doing that. I have ones, particular ones, artists or songs that move me more powerfully than other ones. Those are the ones I like to listen to. That builds expectancy of God's presence and moving in your life. And, you know, don't look at it as in terms of manipulation, because you can use music to manipulate people. But look at it as in a motivation. If you can sing songs that move you, they motivate you to pursue God, to know Him more. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You should desire to see God moving in your life more. And if these songs, there are particular ones that do that for you, use them. Allow them to work in you. That will lead you back to prayer and back to the desire to see other people know Christ. The last one on my list here is Bible reading. And I'm not saying, you know, in terms of the deep study like what we're studying in Sunday school, you know, you don't have to, all right, I need to know the Greek word here. Now, some people really get off and here's the Greek word. Wow. Oh, God, you're amazing. Here's this Greek word. That's not most of us, though, and that's fine. You need to have the depth to understand things, but you need to just be knowing what's in the Bible, because that's how you begin to know who God is. That's how you begin to expect to see how He works. He works in the ways that He is, that are written there in the Bible for you to understand. Just read it, especially the things about Jesus. Read the Gospels. They talk about Jesus, the things that He said, the things that He did. And the more you understand it, the more you know who He is. And the more you know who He is, the more you have real relationship with Him. Real relationship. Because you know His value system. So read it and know what that passage means. Know why Jesus said these things. Know what's going on in His mind and heart. Know why He acts in the way He does. Know when He calls somebody to do something or to be like something, He's speaking to you. He wants you to hear that and follow in the same way. People lived in expectation of the coming of the Christ in the first century. They were expecting the Christ to come. Now, many rejected Him when He showed up because He didn't meet their expectations. They had the wrong expectations. So our expectations of who the Christ is and how He should work in our lives should be ones that match up with who He really is. Or you too will be disappointed. You will have false assumptions. So you have to know who the real Jesus is, and you will only know that through studying and reading the Bible. So true expectation of how God will come and move and work in your life only happens through what you know of who He is as recorded in the Bible. So you need to be reading things in the Bible. You need to keep who Jesus is fresh before you. You need to speak with Him, pray. Sing songs and spiritual songs, Paul tells us in Thessalonians. These are the things that develop the spiritual part of us. Develop that, even the emotional part of us in our relationship with God. Keep us pursuing Him. Keep us watching and looking for His work in our lives. Don't confuse that with relationship. But it's still very important. It causes us to pursue relationship more deeply. Take a few minutes now and pray, respond to God, and write yourself some homework, things that you might do. Maybe something I listed, maybe something I didn't, that you can work on in developing the expectancy of seeing God and experiencing Him more, being aware of His presence in your life. Father, thank You for Your Word that teaches us, but also allows us to enter into the story where we read what Jesus said and did. Give us creative minds to be able to read it and see how Jesus would live and act now so that we can live and act in that same way. Thank You for songs that move our hearts closer to You. We thank You for the gift of song, the gift of lyrics that can touch us. Help us to find the things that can move our own hearts closer to You. Lord, help us to remember to pray for those around us who don't know You, our family, our friends, our neighbors. Help us to live Your value system humbly. And we pray for Your kingdom to come in their lives. We expect to see Your kingdom continue to advance. Help us to be part of that process. We pray these things for Your kingdom and Your glory. Amen.